Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. There are links there not only to four social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. Lately, I have also been calling attention to something that I want to clarify is nothing to do with a sponsor. I want to make sure that that's clear. Quite simply, it's just a new initiative whereby you can buy me a cup of coffee. There's no shipping. This is not affiliated with any coffee chain. Don't overthink it. Think of it simply as you and I having a virtual cup of coffee together. Just go to the Meet the Host page in the About section of CatholicSportsRadio.net and look for the blue button on that page that says Buy Bruce a Coffee to see about us raising a mug together that way, regardless of your location. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. In the past week, I have had a front row seat to two wonderful examples of good sportsmanship, if you'll allow me to label these two acts that way. First was Tampa Bay Buccaneers rookie running back Rashad White having his best game as a pro, helping the team beat the Seattle Seahawks in the game played in Germany. He had a lot of big runs in the game, picked up some important first downs, made a highlight reel stiff arm on one of his gains, but did it all without showboating or drawing attention to himself with any outrageous grandstanding. He simply kept his head down, kept running, and let his work speak for itself. Then a few days later, the Tampa Bay Lightning defeated the Dallas Stars on an overtime goal by Alex Killorn. One of the assists on the winning goal was by team captain Steven Stamkos, which was the 500th assist of his NHL career. Someone else on the ice skated over to get the puck for Stamkos. He went and congratulated Killorn on the goal. Stamkos wasn't even one of the game's three stars. Both Rashad White and Steven Stamkos acted with humility. The late theologian, Bishop Fulton Sheen, said, quote, "No man is good unless he is humble, and humility is a recognition of truth concerning oneself. A man who thinks he is greater than he actually is not humble, but a vain and boastful fool." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is in her 19th season at the helm of the track and field and cross-country programs at the College of Charleston up in South Carolina. During her time there, athletes have captured 22 conference titles and have earned 9 NCAA regional appearances. Prior to her current employer, she served as the head women's cross-country coach and assistant men's and women's track and field coach at Washington and Lee for 2 years. She began her career as a graduate assistant at Pittsburgh State in Kansas. In her days as a student athlete, she was a track and field All-American at Allegheny College and served 2 years as a team captain. She was honored in 2004 as a member of the NCAC All-Decade Team for both cross-country and track and field, and was subsequently elected to the Allegheny Athletic Hall of Fame. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Amy Seago.
Thank you so much for having me here, Bruce.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you. I'm looking forward to this. As things tend to go when someone works in college athletics, there has been, as we just heard in that intro, some moving around for you throughout your career. Where were you actually born, though, and what was the family size in what I'm assuming was a Catholic household?
Yes, so I was born in Canton, Ohio, and I have one older sister who's 3 years older than myself, and my mom actually raised us Catholic. My dad is a Christian, but not Catholic, so a lot of the, going to CCD class and Mass every week was on her, and I appreciate the faith basis that she gave me because it has made a tremendous difference in my life.
Interesting. I think the tendency for some listeners is to hear Canton, Ohio, and automatically think of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But Amy, I'll let you tell the audience about two significant women in the Catholic faith who are from your hometown.
Yes. So actually, at the time, I was not aware when I was growing up in Canton that this was going on in the back scene. But Mother Angelica, who founded EWTN, was actually born in Canton, Ohio. And there's also an important woman in the faith, Rhoda Wise, who was a mystic, who was a little older than Mother Angelica, and she helped to really to mentor Mother, and Rita Rizzo is her name before she became Mother Angelica, but helped to mentor her in her faith. And really interesting, because I didn't necessarily know that growing up, but I knew that the St. Clair Monastery was there in town, and I visited it. But the history, most recently, when I went to visit my parents, I did go to the Mother Angelica Museum. And previous to that, a couple years, I had attended, went to the house where Rhoda Wise grew up. And actually, as a mystic, and she had a stigmata. And so she really was someone who was strong in her faith and helped to guide others around her, and had a lot of people who came to visit her, who knew of her faith and knew of her ability to connect with others. And I find it inspirational because, there's so much history there, and just digging into it and attending that museum for Mother Angelica this summer was eye-opening. And the fact that there's so many things that she did where she was led by the Holy Spirit, and she did not know what the next step was going to be. I mean, starting EWTN was truly a leap of faith, where she didn't know where the money was going to come from necessarily. And she relied on God to provide it, and just kept following the urgings of the Holy Spirit and where she was led to do fundraising. One of the things that I learned from the museum is that she sold fishing lures, which I found quite humorous in her sense of humor, obviously, trying to cast a wide net for souls. And so fishing lures was a way that she helped to raise money for her mission.
Wow. While we're talking about Canton and your youth, I know you said you have visited these places more recently, but where were you going to church as a young girl, and were you attending Catholic school or no?
So I did not attend Catholic school, but I went to a wonderful church, Little Flower Parish, and it's actually Middle Branch, Ohio. And it's from there I definitely have grown my appreciation for St. Therese, and actually, St. Therese has made a large impact in my life, in just some of my just asking for her intercession. And we can maybe get to this a little bit later, but just in meeting my husband, she helps me to do that. So okay. That was kind of a cool thing that I found just from my little church and where I grew up.
Yeah, and I know you had said before about CCD, but I wasn't sure if it was, well, I actually went to a Catholic high school, or if it was no Catholic schools at all or what. So that's why I asked for that clarification. But let's talk some sports here. When and how did you get into running as your sport? And for that matter, did you compete, I don't know, maybe it would be in high school perhaps, in anything else? Or was it always just the one sport for you?
Well, I tried other sports for sure. I was pretty tiny and didn't really start growing and shooting up until I was in high school. So I tried basketball, and my famous story about basketball was I would hang on to the basketball. My teammates would pick it up and they'd sort of shake me around. So I that was not necessarily my thing, but I was always interested in sports and the competitive nature of it. And I was able to participate and just a little camp. It was a learn by doing camp, I think, when I was in fifth grade for track and field, and I fell in love with it. But there weren't a lot of opportunities. Middle school, I ran some track, but at that point, there's not a lot of opportunities until high school. So in high school, I really, really fell in love with it. And I had an uncle who had introduced me to distance running and helped me to train a little bit. And I thank him for introducing me to the sport that I love, that I've been so involved with for years and years now.
Yeah. I mentioned in the intro that as a student athlete, you attended Allegheny College. That's a little bit of a drive to commute back and forth every day from Canton, Ohio. So I'm going to assume that you lived on campus, which makes me wonder how your faith life looked as someone away at college, not to mention also someone giving time to competing in track and field.
Well, that's a great question. So, as I've grown up Catholic, I think I've gone through just some waves of when, and it's been important to me. My faith has always been important to me, but I think in college, you know, how your time, you get stressed out, you've got projects you need to do. So I would do my best to always make it to Mass, but I wasn't as involved as I could have been. And then when I went to grad school, when I went to Pittsburgh State, I actually became very involved in the Baptist Student Union just because they had an active branch there. But then I helped to teach CCD classes at the Catholic, the local Catholic church there at St. Mary's. Mm. And so that was an interesting introduction just to, you know, Protestant brothers and sisters. And that was good for me to see the other side, but I'd always stayed connected to the Catholic side. And, as I was out on my own and just grew more in my thoughts and sort of my maturity in the Catholic faith. And I'm thankful for that time and just always having an influence of the church, for sure.
Well, and so fast forward, folks, to present day, and you heard me in the intro say that Amy is at the helm of the track and field and cross-country programs at the College of Charleston. In the lead-up to today, Amy, you hinted to me that you had some inspirational and spiritual experiences with your team this past year.
I did. It really is something that gives me great joy to reflect on and to think about. And I had some very strong Christians and just a core group on my team. And, you know, from my coaching style, I tried, certainly I'm not pushing religion on anyone, but I try to treat everybody as individuals and the beautiful people that they are in God's image and likeness. And so, when the opportunity comes up or I'm able to share my faith, I love to be able to do that. And so I had some strong Christians on the team, and one of whom was a fifth year student who made the choice to come back for her fifth year to finish her eligibility out. And she was a strong leader. And then there was another core group in there, one of the young ladies who really made it her mission last year to have running be the way in which she glorified God. Mm. And so those two sort of took the lead with a few of the others that were attending FCA on campus. And they just were learning so much, and we would have lots of great conversations and walks and just talking about different things that we can do on a daily basis, not necessarily even to share our faith, but to reach out and to be the best people that we can be. And so fast forward a little bit to our conference championship in the spring, and this group did some really inspirational things. And it started with just their belief in themselves. And one of the conversations that I'd had with a fifth year student was, you know, the year previous, her senior year, her fourth year, she failed to make the finals in the conference championship. So when we talked about her coming back for another year, I said, hey, what are you going to feel about this experience if you walk away and you don't achieve what you expected that you would, because nothing is guaranteed? And she said, I know. And what I have decided is I want to take this year and try to live in the moment as much as I can and just enjoy it and realize that this is my last opportunity to be a college athlete. I want to enjoy it. Mm. And that was sort of the impetus for she set the stage for all of these other things to happen. And so about a month before our conference championship, I was listening to Catholic radio, and I don't remember who the guest was that was talking, but he just mentioned, you know, the song that I've heard, Oceans. You should listen to the song Oceans. And so I listened to the song Oceans, and it really spoke to me. And it says, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. And so a month or two before the conference championship, I just was really leaning into this in those words and just trying to figure out, okay, where am I, you know, what am I being called to do, and how can I lead this group of young ladies in this season? And so what I have often done is I'll get a children's book, and I'm trying to get a point across in a simple way. And so one of the books that I chose with one of the individual meetings with a young lady who happens to be Catholic, was a book about trying and trying to do something in a different way. And so one of her sticking points in her racing was that she would get to a certain point and then sort of fear would take over, and she wouldn't necessarily believe in that leap of faith that it takes to be in the moment and just, you know, achieve. Don't be worried about where it's going to end or how you're going to finish the race. Just trust for an instant and get taken away from that and be taken away by your belief. And so fast forward to the conference meet where I had three young ladies who qualified for finals in the 1500. And they are, you know, they're that group that really believed in themselves. And that's a lot of what we talked about is that belief. And then it came time for this other young lady for her events to qualify from the prelims to finals. And she did. And she had this belief that I have never seen from her. And it was incredible. And so after the meet, that was on Mother's Day weekend, and we had a late flight back into town. And so I had to go to Mass in the evening when I arrived back in Charleston. So I went to Mass by myself. My family had already gone, so we were going to catch up with them later. And so I was at Mass, and there it just kind of blew me away. It was more of a contemporary Mass, and they actually played that song, the Ocean Song.
Wow.
And so it overpowered me. And so afterwards, I texted her. I just sent her a message, and I said, you know, I am just thinking about you and thinking about what you accomplished and how you really trusted and how awesome that was to see you trust. And so she sent me a message back right away. She said, Cosillo, how could you have known? And she sent me a picture that she had drawn on her chalkboard in her room. And it was those words, Spirit lead me where my trust is without borders. And it was just such a moment that it was a Holy Spirit moment. I mean, nothing I can say beyond, wow, that was phenomenal.
Amazing.
It's that. And then there, you know, a couple other things that were amazing in that time where the story that was written for that young lady in her fifth year and how she ended on such a high note. And then the other young lady who all she wanted to do was glorify God through her running. And so one thing that I'd said, and it certainly isn't anything that I said, but it was just something that my coach 20 years ago said to me in the, you know, just to kind of calm some fears. And he said this in a team meeting, and it didn't go over real well with some of the others, maybe who weren't Christians at the time, but he said, you know, the story's already written. What you have, what you're going to do at your meet tomorrow, it's in some ways, you know, you don't have to worry about it. You can trust that that there's faith in what you're able to do. So don't worry about it. It was the sense of what he was trying to say.
Yeah.
And so I knew that this young lady was pretty nervous about her event, and I said, you know, just trust that God has this, and you know, your story, you don't have to take all control of this. And so she did, and for her to, you know, later she came back and told me that that was just reassuring to her to hear that. And the fact that, you know, I was thinking about my whole experience and how 20 years ago my coach said that, and it was something that was tough for others to hear, and it was 20 years before its time. And so I just, that was a cool moment. Yeah.
I was going to say, God bless you for, I'm going to say the word courage, because I think too many of us do freeze up in a moment like that. And we second guess, oh, should I say something that is going to have religious overtones to it? And unfortunately, we err on the side of safety and we pull back. And so obviously you were led to that. And so I'm taking my hat off to you for the courage to step out in faith and say, this is what she needs to hear. And as a housekeeping note, folks, by the way, if you want to look up the song that Amy's talking about, it's called Oceans and it's by Hillsong. So if you just go on YouTube or Spotify or whatever, type in Oceans and then Hillsong, which is all one word, and you can hear that song. I'm very familiar with it. And somehow, Amy, I was preparing myself. I thought she's saying that she went to church by herself, and I know she's going to say they ended up playing that song. So amazing. Amy, it's wonderful to take time out to share her faith and sports journey with us today. And we're only halfway through this. So fortunately, we're going to get to hear her share even more still. But last week on the show, you heard Javier Aguirre, who called in from the Netherlands to talk to me about his story and about Copa Católica, a soccer tournament for parishes. And this week, I want to publicly thank him because Javier made a contribution to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, and that helps so much with all these expenses that I have, not to mention just the vote of confidence that that gives me when someone makes a gift to CSR. Next week, we will hit the milestone 200th episode of Catholic Sports Radio. And yet, after all this time, I still don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors. And I still want to optimistically add the word yet at the end of that. Some people might say I'm dumb for devoting all the time that I've given to this ministry for well over 3.5 years now, meaning doing so without any financial support, or some might call it stubborn. I like to think of it as being a good and faithful servant, answering God's call with my time and talent. More importantly, I like to think that you enjoy what I do each week and that you do see value in what this ministry provides and that it's helping you in your faith life. And to that, I would invite you, as part of your tithing, to consider joining Javier Aguirre and other guests and listeners before him in supporting Catholic Sports Radio. I'm tempted to say with a one-time gift, just to clarify that I'm not asking you to join something that's an ongoing charge to your credit card. But hey, if you want to make a gift to my ministry more than once, you have heard me detail specific expenses over numerous episodes of this show, so it certainly will go to good use. Anyhow, to do so, you can use the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, which is fast and secure. You simply type in whatever amount you're comfortable sending, and that's it. You can even include a short note to me along with it, too. Alternatively, if you would rather not do it electronically, email me via bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net, and I will write you back with details on sending me a check through the mail. Either way, as you're hearing me do with citing Javier Aguirre, I will happily say the name of anyone who makes a gift to Catholic Sports Radio, regardless of the amount, or as some have asked me to do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate your gifts as a way of tithing and helping me continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Amy, before all that, you were talking about the experiences with your team this past year, but you attended a Christian running camp this summer. What kind of impact did that have on you?
Yes. So I feel like this year for me has been transformational just in me having the courage to share more. I'm learning a little more from our Protestant brothers and sisters in some ways with that. And Montreat College is a school that's a Christian school, and they have a running camp where, and I'd never experienced anything of this nature myself as a student athlete, but they do what they love. They run, and then they also have opportunities to share the word with one another and to talk about it openly. And so that, to me, was very eye-opening, and how obviously athletics is a way, you know, sports are a metaphor for life, but how much greater when you can connect it to Christ. And so that just was a fulfilling opportunity for me. And I had the opportunity at the time to speak with the current athletic director. He was also a vice president at the college. And he just shared a story with me about how the Holy Spirit had moved him at a pivotal point in his life. And I was blown away by a man that I just met that could sit with me and share on that deep of a level. And it made such a profound impact, and it just I guess, encouraged me even more so that, you know, when there are those moments when you're able to say something and you're hesitating, maybe you should just you know, follow the urging if that's where you're being led. And that's what I have felt more courage from, because listening to the Holy Spirit, he's not going to lead you in the wrong direction. And so that was a great experience for me.
Folks, can you hear the rocks rattling around? I'm shaking my head yes as she's saying all that. Couldn't agree more. And it's funny because you used the word transformational for this year for yourself. And as I was putting this interview together, I thought to myself, it sounds like 2022 has been very impactful for Amy. Who is Ben Sands, and what have you and he been doing this year?
Yes. So, all right. So Catholic Radio, once again, leading me in the right direction. So I was listening to Catholic Radio one day, and there was an ad that came on the radio from this CEO coach, and his name is Ben Sands, and he is essentially an executive coach. And I just called him up one day, and I said, hey, you know, I sent him an email, and then he agreed to a call, and I said, I love what you're doing, and just the impact that you make at that level. And I think there is a need to do this at the college level. There's a lot of students who are confused and they're not sure about their identity, and they get stuck in the stress of their daily life. And is there something we can do where we can team up on this together? And he was gracious enough to lead me and my team through his process of what he does with the executives. Mm-hmm. And it really has been phenomenal. And obviously, you know, again, I'm not approaching this from the religious standpoint, but he and I know that the human heart has certain things written on it, and our need for connection and security and growth and significance. And you know, these are things that, especially in the college age, to be able to make an impact. And so, he shared the program. My team seems to have really enjoyed it, and I'm thankful for his involvement, because it's opened the door to some other conversations with the student athletes about connecting to each other and finding different ways that they can connect. And, you know, I know at the heart of it, we are all individual people on our own path, but we are here to help one another and to raise each other up. And one of the big missions that I talk about with my program, you know, we call it CFC Best, and it's building excellence and success together. And we talk about the pillars of communication and optimism, fortitude, character. And so this has been a great way for us to connect with one another, but realize that on our own pathway in everything that we're doing, you might have an English major here or a business major there, that if we're able to help enrich somebody else and you can help someone else, that helps yourself so much more as well. And so I've just been thankful to have that opportunity to try to make that impact and just be a small part of opening some eyes to some of those connections.
And as tempted as I am to say, when you first contacted him, did he say, oh, good, my ad is working, because I'm the guy that just sat here and told people to make a gift to my ministry and I have no sponsors. And so I'm thinking that had to be what he, but let's not miss what really happened there, folks. Let's not miss the fact that Amy said she was listening to Catholic Radio. So as much as she has said that what Ben Sands has been doing is not faith-based, it was still Spirit-led. It was her listening to Catholic Radio and then her following where the Holy Spirit led her, which is, this is something that is going to impact the impact you're making on these student-athletes. So good for you, Amy, for continuing to answer that call and for seeing the Holy Spirit in ways that I think we wouldn't notice if we weren't looking for it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I feel like I've learned a lot over this past year, and just the connections with other Christians and other Catholic Christians who have helped to point that direction and to keep continuing the urging. I mean, I'm a member of this great Catholic moms group, and what a beautiful group of, you know, they're in a group me and they send messages just for prayers for one another. And to see the impact that prayer has, and, you know, a young girl had cancer and this group was praying, and praise God, she was cured of her cancer. And wow. It just the impact, but to see in the lives of these women that I feel very, very blessed to have been put in connection with, and just how they're living their faith out, and how that's an inspiration to me. And I think all of us, if we can just do some small things, you never know how that might impact somebody else and their thinking and what they might be able to do.
Amen. Amen. That's right. I usually save this for the end, but share with us about when and how you met your now husband.
Yes. Okay. So George and I met in downtown Charleston, and let's see, we've been married 14 years. So I guess that was about 16 years ago when we met. And he's a member of the Knights of Columbus. And the Knights of Columbus, Council 704, they have a building right on Calhoun Street in downtown Charleston. And back then, there was a big initiative with the young adults group. They did theology on tap. And so George is probably the youngest knight by, 10, 20 years maybe at that point. And he happened to be working that event and was a bartender at that event. And I went up and honestly, I asked for a glass of water, and there's my knight in shining armor kind of standing there. And afterwards, we just connected a little bit, and I kept running into him throughout the summer. And it just was a beautiful story of we just kept intersecting at the right time. And I'd mentioned earlier St. Therese and the connection there, but while he and I had met, we didn't really start dating for a while until after that, and we kept running into one another. And I was trying to pray and figure out where I was going, and what relationship, where should I go with this? And I asked for some help from St. Therese to just point me in the direction of where I'm supposed to go. And honestly, the prayer where talking about roses, honestly, I had a dream that night, and roses appeared, and George was in that dream. And this was after I had met him, but I didn't know him very well. And it just kind of gave me the prompting of I was in a relationship at that point, and kind of knew that it was maybe time to move on from that relationship and just see where else I needed to be. And it gave me the courage to sort of take that step of, okay, maybe it's time to, move in a different direction. And so that was kind of a cool little connection, I thought. And just the courage of learning when you're just going to keep your eyes open, I think. And so then therefore, all throughout that summer, after that experience, I kept running into this guy, and at a certain point, I think he asked me to do something with him, and then we had a great connection from there, and kind of the rest is history. But then a lot of our early life and dating and marriage was very much centered around the Knights of Columbus building, and we were very involved in the Turkey Day Run, and that's a race that's Thanksgiving morning. And just all the pieces and parts that go into that. And we spent a lot of our years of our life on Thanksgiving morning devoted to that group. And, speaking of which, Thanksgiving's coming up and the race is still going on. And I encourage as many people as possible to come out and, and get a nice run in before eating Thanksgiving dinner.
And you and George were blessed to have a significant trip during your first year of marriage. Tell the audience what I'm referring to.
Yes, so we went to Rome, and we toured around a few different places in Europe, but the most, for me, what was so cool was going to Rome, and then going to the Vatican and St. Peter's, and also being able to be in the general audience to see Pope Benedict, and then obviously with the history of Pope Benedict, just being there to see him while he was Pope, made a big impact. And for us as a couple, we got lost in Rome. I wouldn't say lost, but it took us a long time to get to our hotel one day. So it was about a 13-mile walk. And so you learn a lot about each other, during a long walk like that. And, that was just a great trip, and one where I'm thankful as a Catholic to be able to see where our home is here on earth with St. Peter's and the epicenter with the Pope, and just it was a cool experience for sure.
Well, we've heard about your marriage, so I would love to close with hearing about your children as well as the parish community that your family belongs to.
Yes, so we are blessed to have four beautiful young girls, ranging in age from, we have a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 1.5-year-old. And they are just pure joy. And, you know, I think becoming a parent is one of those things that you're never completely prepared for until it happens. And then I'm constantly blown away with how much love you can feel for someone, and just the things that they say on a daily basis, and just their connection and how they see their faith. And it's fun to see through their eyes. And we are members of an ordinariate community, the Catholic community of Corpus Christi, which meets in downtown Charleston in St. Mary's. And we have a wonderful pastor, Father Allen, who just is inspirational and feeds us weekly with his homilies, and just something that our little group that we connect with, it's a nice something different, obviously, in the Catholic Church, the ordinariates. For those of you that don't know, it's the Anglican tradition and the Anglican rite that's still under the umbrella of the Catholic Church. And he actually is a married priest, and he has two children as well. So that perspective is kind of interesting to see, and to see how he lives his life out with his wife and his children, and being able to give good advice. So we appreciate that, and love the beautiful Mass.
Wonderful, wonderful insights that you've shared with us on this episode, Amy. It was so great to have you on as a guest, and thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. Happy Thanksgiving, and God bless you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you so much for your ministry and what you do. And I will make a pledge. I hope others will join me, but I'll make a pledge to contribute, and I hope that others will as well, because I see the importance of this ministry and, athletics and sports, and obviously Christ have such an impact on me in the intersection of all of those things and how we can enrich our lives. So I thank you for what you do, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm an awkward thanker when people say I'm going to give a gift to your ministry. I really am at a loss for words. For someone that has to host a show every week, I all of a sudden kind of get tongue-tied, but it really does mean a lot to me. So thank you for that, and thank you for encouraging the others to do that. And folks, with Amy holding the position that she does, I thought it would be fitting if our closing prayer this week is one taken from the National Catholic Coaches Association. So let's pray that together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, therefore encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. Thank you, God, for the love and compassion you show me when I fall short of your expectations. Help me to inspire those I interact with to be what you know they could be. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H. At Cath Sports Radio. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.